Make It High Noon, written by Heather Mist, recorded by Alta Seek. As Sam sat at his desk, glumly chewing the end of his pen, a hand squeezed his shoulder. He looked up into the face of Dr. Matron, smiling at him encouragingly. "Don't take it to heart, Sam. Jack Aubrey is extremely fond of you, loves you dearly, in fact, but he's used to the traditional ways. Perhaps noir was just too sudden a change for him. You startled him with it. Why don't you try again?" "But I can't seem to express myself clearly in Age of Sail. I don't have the language. I am not a creature of the sea like he is. My life is on the land." "I understand your point completely, believe me. Sure have I not had to learn it all myself. Might there not be a middle way, though? Something more akin to both your lives? Have a think about it, and try again." And with another squeeze of the shoulder, Stephen left him to it. Once more, Father Sam Panda picked up his pen. "Good night, Steve. Take care of yourself." The door to St. Michael's Church closed quietly behind Charlie and Sam, and they padded off down the hushed streets together. They got maybe 10 paces, no more, before the goons jumped them, threw a bag over their heads, and knocked them out cold. When Sam came to, head pounding inside the dark sack, he realized he was inside a building and lying on something soft and giving, straw maybe, by the feel and smell of it. Somewhere nearby was the familiar snorting sound of a horse eating. A stable, then. Well, at least they weren't dead. Yet. Charlie, are you awake?" he muttered quietly. There was a muffled groan and a movement in the straw nearby. "Sam, what's going on?" "Martillo must have hired some guns to protect him." "Should have figured. You okay?" "Yeah. How do we get out of this?" "So, you bastards are awake. What happened to the boss? Where's Martillo?" Some footsteps came close and a harsh voice growled over them. "Martillo? Never heard of him." "Don't get smart with me, mister." A boot connected solidly with Sam's backside, making him grunt. "Leave it, Loki. He ain't gonna say anything. Too smart for that. We're just gonna do what Martillo said. If he didn't come out, we're to take these bastards out of town and string them up." Why go to all that trouble, Deke? Why not just do it here?" Loki aimed another kick at Sam. "Because the one you're kicking around is a priest. We hang him here, there'll be questions. And we don't want questions. Now get the horses." "All right, preacher man, on your feet." The man called Deke hauled Sam up by the rope tied around his wrists and hoisted him roughly into a saddle. A grunt from Charlie told him he too was being put on a horse. As they moved off with a jerk, Sam clasped his hands around the pommel, thinking hard. Because he didn't know where they had started from, there was no way of knowing which direction they were now traveling in, nor was he sure just how many goons there were around him. He guessed 4. But no matter what, the odds weren't looking favorable for Sam Panda just now, when all he could do was wait and hope that an opportunity would arise to escape, and that Charlie was smart enough to follow his lead if it did. On and on they rode, and Sam realized they had now left the town behind and were going uphill. North, then. Well, that was something. He knew the North Country pretty well. Just a pity it wasn't near the coast, too. They might have been spotted by the hands on the surprise. Would have been handy to have a few more able men around. No point whining about it, though. There was nothing could be done. More time passed, and through the sack he could see the light getting brighter and feel the air getting warmer. They were well beyond dawn, and still they rode on, without a pause. At last, when the sun was getting a mite too warm on Sam's face for comfort, the man called Deke called a halt, and Sam was pulled down from his horse, the sacking plucked from his head. Squinty against the harsh sunlight, he looked around. They were at a typical one-horse, one-dog town, no doubt called Desolation or some such similarly inspiring name, a row of buildings strung out along a main street, looking the worse for wear. A dog, a dust-colored, mangy-looking animal, lay sleeping in the shadows outside the hardware store. Of the horse, there was no sign. No sign of any people, either. The town looked deserted, a solitary tumbleweed blowing idly up the street. Sam cast a glance at his fellow travelers. Six goons, himself and Charlie. Not great odds at all. Inspiration better hit fast if he wasn't going to be fitted with a different type of collar from the one he was wearing now. At least Charlie seemed okay, shaking out his legs and stretching his neck muscles after the long, hard ride. "Don't bother with that, kid. We'll be stretching your neck for you soon enough," the man Sam knew as Deke snarled. Then, catching sight of Sam watching him, he said with a harsh laugh, "As for you, preacher, best start saying your prayers." "I'm more than happy to pray for your soul, Deke, if you feel the need." "Best pray for your own. Reckon you'll be at those pearly gates long before me. Boys, better get them nooses ready." Sam's eye flicked along the street. A sign caught his attention. "You wouldn't send a man to his death without one last drink, would you? There's a saloon down yonder. Why don't we go in and have one?" Deke's eyes narrowed. He didn't trust preachers. They were always looking for an angle to try and save you from your ways. Deke liked his ways. Shooting, killing, drinking, and whoring. Nothing wrong with that. Still, a drink. To tell the truth, it had been one long, hot, dusty ride. The others looked like they felt the same way. They were all licking their lips and looking hopeful. "Well, okay, one drink, but no funny business. One wrong move from you and I'll shoot you where you stand." Deke drew his pistol and Sam put up his hands placatingly. "Sure thing, you're the boss." The gang walked cautiously down the middle of the deserted street, guns drawn, with Charlie and Sam between them. Nothing stirred. As they drew level with the saloon, they saw a Mexican-type fella sitting in the dirt, propped up against the hitching post. His knees were drawn up under some kind of stripy horse blanket, and his hat was pulled down over his eyes. He seemed to be sleeping. The gang trained their guns on him, but he didn't stir, not even a little, except for the regular rise and fall of his chest. And after a minute, they walked on in through the swing doors to the cool, dark, empty saloon. Behind the bar, wiping over its top with a constant, deliberate, lazy sweep, the bartender gave them an appraising look. He was a hard-faced son of a bitch, lean and sparse, his grizzled hair hanging long and loose about his shoulders. "You wantin' something? Whiskey in 8 glasses, make it quick." The bartender jerked his chin. "Show me your money first, stranger. I ain't taking nothing on trust." Deke cocked his pistol and leveled it at the man. "This do for you?" The bartender looked at the gun, looked at Deke, and then took in the rest of the gang. He spat expertly out of the corner of his mouth. "Guess it'll have to." Reaching below the counter, he produced a bottle and glasses and began filling them. Sam looked down at his tied hands. "Hard to drink with my hands tied, Deke," he murmured quietly. "Try, and quit calling me Deke. I never said you could." Sam sighed and reached for a glass. It skittered out of his grasp, spilling across the bar. "Hey, none of that. Look at that state of the goddamn bar now, and I've just cleaned it. Slopping good whiskey everywhere. Jesus, just untie the man, can't you?" The barman began furiously mopping up the spilled drink, scowling at them all malevolently. "Okay, okay. But remember, preacher man, my gun's right here." The ropes were cut, and Sam and Charlie slowly rubbed their chafed wrists and then reached for their drinks. "Oh, boys," a girl's voice sing-song from the landing above their head. "Any of you fine, strapping men looking for a good time?" Some of the gang began to chortle, wiping their mouths and hitching up their trousers expectantly. Charlie frowned and looked at Sam, who very discreetly shook his head and carried on drinking. Two of the goons headed for the stairs, ignoring Dee calling them back. He shrugged. "Makes no odds. You're still outnumbered. You ain't armed, and you ain't going nowhere. We can wait. Shouldn't be long anyhow, knowing them." There were giggles and girlish shrieks from upstairs, followed by a thump or two. The bartender carried on silently wiping over the countertop, watching them all like hawks. Outside, the dust-colored dog suddenly started barking furiously, causing a commotion. The horses at the hitching post all reared up, neighing in fright, and then set off at a gallop down the street.
"What in tarnation? God damn it, Lukey, didn't you tie them horses up?"
"Sorry, Deke, the dog must have scared them all. Go after them."
Downing his whiskey, Lukey jerked his chin at one of the other men, and together they ran out of the saloon. Covertly, Sam and Charlie looked at one another. The odds were evened out now.
Don't think about trying nothing. I still got this, remember?
Deke waved the gun at them and then froze. There was an unmistakable click as the pistol was cocked and then pressed against his neck. Throw your gun down and get your hands up. Deke did as he was told, looking frantically over to the one remaining gang member. He too had his hands up and was concentrating hard on the pistol now held in the bartender's hand and pointing right at him.
We don't want no trouble, mister. We're just bounty hunters, cleaning up a little bit of business with these here two outlaws. Just tell me what you want, Deke stammered.
I've come for my boy. In the stunned pause which followed these words, Charlie goggled. Now that he could see him properly, the man with the gun behind Deke looked an awful lot like Sam. Same face, same kind of height and build, same way of standing. Except this man was white, and Sam was black as night. The man looked piercingly at the priest.
You okay, Sam?
Just standy. Good to see you, sir.
Likewise. What do you want done with these fellas? Shall I kill them?
Nah, they're just hired hands. Not their fault. I've already dealt with the real problem. Best if we just tie them up and be on our way.
They were gonna lynch you, son.
But they didn't, so no more to be said there.
Killick, give Sam and his friend their guns.
Without taking his eyes from his own victim, the bartender reached below the counter, extracted a couple of pistols, and shoved them across the bar with a conspiratorial wink at Sam. Sam and Charlie picked them up, checked the primings, and cocked them.
Okay, got them covered, Jack Aubrey's voice rasped. Killick, get some ropes.
There was movement behind them, and Sam instinctively turned and raised his weapon. The man the gang had taken for a sleepy Mexican stood in the doorway, the wickets swinging back and forth behind him with the gentle whap, whap, whap as they slowly came to rest. He was lean, rangy, and lightly coated with dust. His hat pulled down menacingly low over his eyes, the dark cherub just visible at the corner of his mouth.
Hello, Sam.
The stranger lifted his head and grinned at him, eyes gleaming, teeth clenched around the cherub.
Doc Matron, I might have known. Well, you're a sight for sore eyes and no mistake. What in the world have you got on?
Poncho. Picked it up in Peru the other year. Handy thing. Convenient, warm, rolls up into nothing and...
Down!
Instinctively, Sam and Charlie ducked as Stephen Matron's hand whipped out like a snake from beneath the poncho and loosed off a shot. Behind them there was a cry. The goon who had gone to fetch the horses with Lukey had snuck back in from the yard. He fell to the ground, clutching his chest, his pistol rolling out of his grasp.
And, as I was about to say, it gives you the element of surprise. You can hide all kinds of stuff underneath it.
Stephen casually blew the smoke from his pistol barrel before reholstering it. He nodded to Aubrey.
Sorry about that. Didn't realize there were two of them. A damn lizard distracted me at the crucial moment.
Jack rolled his eyes but made no comment on this.
Well, now that the gang's all here, shall we get going? Killick, tie that man up.
It's great that you are here, but how exactly did you know where to find us? And how did you get here so quick? Sam asked as Killick threw him a rope, and he bent to tie up Deke.
Ain't it obvious? Your little nun friend, Sister Steve, saw what happened to you, followed these goons to their hideout, heard them talking about what they were going to do and where they were going to do it, and then came and got us. She's quite a jack gal. As for how we got here so quick, I figured it would be smarter going by sea than land with the head start these boys had. So we jumped in the Ringle and headed on up the coast. Surprises following on behind. Should be there by the time we get down to the bay.
Jack turned to Charlie.
I'm Captain Jack Aubrey, by the way, kid. I think you were due to join my crew last night, but seeing as you were unavoidably detained with Sam here, I'll overlook your being late this once. No need to ask who you are. You are the spit of Sister Steve, right down to the outfit.
He raised an eyebrow as he cast a bemused glance over the bedraggled nun's habit that Charlie was wearing.
Disguise,
Only way to get him out of the church after curfew last night. Not that it mattered in the end, thanks to Martillo outsmarting me. That was Steve we heard earlier, wasn't it? Sam queried.
Yeah, tried to make her stay behind. She wouldn't hear of it, insisted on coming along.
I hope you've got a better idea of doing what you're told than your sister has, kid. Otherwise your life's going to be a living hell from now on. She's got Bonin up there with her in case there was trouble, and to help her with the heavy lifting. Reckon they'll have those fellas down to their drawers and hogtied by now. I'll give her a holler.
Sam laughed. No need, I know how to fetch her. And putting his fingers in his mouth, he whistled loudly, automatically putting out a hand to scratch a nearby pillar, nearest thing the bar had to a backstay, just as he'd been taught. Overhead, there was the sound of feet pattering along the corridor.
Sam, is that you?
The owner of the feet hurried down the stairs and launched herself into a fierce hug of first Charlie and then Sam.
Thank God you're both safe. I wasn't sure if we would get here in time.
Amen to that, sister. Now what was this I was hearing about you planning on showing those men a good time?
Sam gave Steve a look that impressed even more strongly upon Charlie the resemblance between father and son. Steve grinned mischievously.
Spiritual good time rather than anything else. I introduced one of them to the Bible.
You read to them?
No, I hit him over the head with it. That thing can pack a punch in more ways than one. Mr. Bonin dealt with the other, and he's just gone off to get the horses ready.
Then let's saddle up and get out of here.
As the seven of them headed off for the coast, all of them stretched out in a line abreast, Doc Matron turned to Sam.
I think Sister Steve had better come with us. With all that's happened, anyone with her family's name is going to be a target now.
Agreed. I'll get the bishop to square it with the Mother Superior. Shouldn't be a problem.
You're not coming too, Sam? I thought maybe we'd get to spend some time together for once.
Jack, riding on Sam's other side, looked disappointed. Sam shook his head.
I'll come with you as far as the crossroads, but then I have to go.
He paused and then continued quietly. I have to find a priest. Even though it was the right thing to do, I killed a man in cold blood and it's on my conscience. Besides, he added more cheerfully, there aren't enough sinners on surprise to keep me in business.
That's a matter of opinion.
Jack, Stephen, Killick, and Bonden spoke in unison and then all looked darkly at each other. They reached the crossroads by early evening. Before them, lying easy in the bay, the schooner Ringle bobbed at her ankle while out on the near horizon, the much bigger Surprise could be seen sailing in under a cloud of sails that glowed pink in the reflected setting sun. Sam gave Steve a hug, shook hands with the others, and then gazed intently at his father for the longest time.
I still wish you were coming with us, murmured Jack sadly.
So do I, but a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do. Time for me to go.
Sam smiled affectionately, and they shook hands, squeezing each other's fingers with the full warmth of their unspoken but heartfelt feelings. Then with a click of his tongue to the horse, Sam turned away and headed west into the setting sun, alone.
Make It High Noon. Written by Heather Mist. Recorded by All to Seek. Take from the soundtrack The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly by Ennio Morricone.